Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The fact that I had instructed all of our pastors not to give him Holy Communion, which of course is patently false. I have no idea where he came up with that little piece of fiction.
Right now we have 50 million people who are uninsured. You mean to tell me Catholic Church is going to be denying those people life-saving health care? I thought they were pro-life.
The Manhattan Declaration arose out of people wringing their hands. What do? We see attacks on religious liberty, on the sanctity of life, and on marriage. It was a time to draw a line in the sand and say, here's where we stand, and we're not going to compromise.
I thank God that I get the opportunity to do what I love to do, which is play baseball. I pray and I ask God to keep me healthy and to do whatever I can to represent Him first in the field and to try to help the Cardinals organization to get to the World Series.
I think it's safe to say that this apostle tends to stand in the shadow of his brother a lot of the time. Perhaps not in real life, but at least in the narrative of the Gospels, we find Andrew often mentioned, more often than not, mentioned as the brother of Simon Peter or Peter's brother. I wonder what that was like. And yet Andrew, as an apostle, is mentioned probably as much as his brother in those places where they are mentioned together. He's always there with him. He seems to be perhaps part of that inner circle. We have the Peter, James, and John, but Andrew is often in there too, that inner circle of disciples among the 12 that Jesus spends time with. The church remembers St. Andrew the Apostle on this day, and we will as well here on Issues, Etc. on this Monday, November the 30th. Greetings and welcome. We're back live this Monday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin with a short conversation about St. Andrew, and then we'll spend the rest of the hour expanding our conversation to talk about the entire church's calendar, the church's year, the church's way of marking time. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us here in the studio. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. Marcus, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Todd.
Where do we find St. Andrew scripture-wise first?
Well, first of all, let me just say thanks for inviting me back to talk about the namesake of the campus congregation that I serve. Basically, there's kind of three main times, individual times, and mostly in John's Gospel, that we hear of Andrew. As you mentioned in your intro, we don't hear as much of him as we would like, mostly associated with Peter. But I'll start kind of in the back and move forward first in John 12. Number of Greeks come up to Jesus and they approach Philip, who tells Andrew, and the two of them tell Jesus that these Greeks had come up to them and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." It's interesting that Andrew must have had a little bit of clout because Philip tells him and then Andrew goes and tells Jesus. We also hear in John 6, before Jesus feeds the 5,000, it's Andrew that says, here's the lad with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. But the gospel text usually associated for this day really comes down to John 1:35-42. First two disciples whom John reports as attaching themselves to Jesus are Andrew, and another disciple whom John doesn't name, but as we know with John, sometimes he's referring to himself without naming himself. But having met Jesus, Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon and brings him to Jesus.
So really, if not as an apostle in terms of his importance in deeds done or something like that, he's among the first apostles, even before Peter himself.
Well, absolutely. In fact, when people ask, "Well, why does St. Andrew determine the date for the beginning of Advent?" It's commonly understood that it's because Andrew's considered the first the first of the apostles, really the first one that was called, the first one that responded, and one of the reasons why St. Andrew was given the name for the congregation that I serve was precisely because of the desire for people to want to emulate him in bringing others to Jesus as Andrew did, and going to his brother Peter and confessing to Peter, "We have found the Messiah."
Is he among the inner circle? I mean, it's usually Peter, James, and John, but sometimes he's tacked on there too. Andrew is.
Well, I'm not so sure I would put him in the top three, but it's pretty apparent to me that, as I said, with Philip running to tell Andrew and then Andrew telling Jesus, that I think it's pretty safe to say that if there was another kind of outer inner circle, that Andrew would have probably been in that next bunch.
How has the church dealt with Andrew over time, talking about his life as an apostle, at least according to legend, after the New Testament leaves us off, and what significance has it attached to Andrew over the church's history?
Well, I mean, there's, of course, a lot of tall tales and myths associated with a lot of this over the centuries, but first of all, you know, Andrew is considered the patron saint of Scotland, in part because some of his relics were taken there when the Roman sees were fighting over who had predominance. You know, Rome was hyping that they had Peter's bones. Mark was said to have gone to Alexandria. And Byzantium was sitting there trying to argue for something, and they came up with, hey, let's claim Andrew. He was Peter before Peter, John Chrysostom said. And so, anyways, the church has really kind of backed into the promotion of Peter, mostly because of other things that were taking place in the life of the church, namely the struggle for predominance.
What is his symbol? I mean, all the apostles have a symbol. He has his own cross, doesn't he?
Yeah, Peter, I mean, Andrew's cross is kind of a diagonal cross, if you will. You've seen it many places. If you ever watch, if you see the Scottish flag, it's actually on the Scottish flag. But his cross is kind of an X, really, and it's said that he was placed on it for preaching and speaking the truth about God, and the proconsul was upset that he was doing so, and he was not nailed to it as Jesus was, but was put on it in the form of an X, bound to it to kind of prolong his suffering. And so lots of times you'll see kind of a Scottish shield with this X-shaped cross for the symbol of Peter. I mean, St. Andrew, excuse me.
So
see, even when I'm talking about Andrew, Peter sneaks in, doesn't he?
Well, they go together.
Yeah, they do.
It wasn't entirely clear to me. The season of Advent began on Sunday, and of course, here's St. Andrew's Day on the Monday after that day. Is this a long connection between the beginning of the church here and St. Andrew?
Well, I'm perhaps not the best to talk about it, but I don't know how far it goes back. But my understanding, perhaps you could ask Pastor Curtis this as well. Maybe he knows better than I. That it's associated with his simply being the first apostle. Although I suspect, like with many things with the church here, that's kind of developed as a reason over time. Even though it's probably just counting back 4 Sundays before Christmas as well.
Have you ever had to defend your congregation's choice to choose any saint as a namesake, much less St. Andrew? Why do churches, not your church in particular, why do you think it's a good practice that churches continue to name themselves after the great apostles of our Lord?
Well, I've never actually had to defend it. I'm sure some have. Now that you brought that up, it'll probably happen next week. But I think it's a wonderful age-old custom. Obviously, we have the name Lutheran, which harkens to our heritage. We are a church, and we have chosen a namesake for our congregation, as many do, whether it's St. Mark or Peter or at the seminary there in St. Louis, St. Timothy and St. Titus. much the way that we have the commemorations in the life of the church, which is one of the most exciting things, I think, about the new Lutheran service book, is the opportunity to constantly be putting these great fathers of the faith and sisters of the faith, those that have gone before us, that have many exemplary qualities in terms of their Christian faith and life for us to emulate. And as I mentioned, what better thing on a college campus could we have than the constant reminder of St. Andrew running to his brother and saying, "We have found the Messiah," and then bringing him to Jesus. What a wonderful thing to constantly keep in front of our students and anybody, really.
Does St. Andrew's in Laramie mark St. Andrew's Day, this day in a special way?
Well, we're not this year, but we have in the past, usually on last year we celebrated our 40th anniversary, and we always kind of try to highlight that on St. Andrew's Day. I was installed here 10 years ago on St. Andrew's Day, and so we do try to do that. It seems only fitting for any church that bears such a namesake to keep that prominent.
Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. Marcus, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, well, with our appetites for the church year whet a bit by the celebration of St. Andrew's Day, how does it fit in the greater calendar? Because the church is simply out of step with the world. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I came into the studio this morning. I have several calendars here, one with the series of kittens, one with the series of babies. I went to turn them over because we have one more month in the world's calendar before the year comes to an end, and yet already yesterday the church has turned its calendar over to a new year, a new Advent, a new year of our Lord. How are we to understand what is now ancient practice in the church, the way that the church is marking time until Christ's return with these great seasons and the great festivals that rise? Most people know Easter and Christmas, but there are more than that. Those are the two highest peaks in the mountain range, but the church celebrates all sorts of things throughout its year. Why? And what's the point? What do we give up? What do we forfeit if the church abandoned its calendar for the world's? Stay tuned.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.